But this morning is Father's Day. Let me just firstly say Happy Father's Day to every one of you that is here. If Grace is 31 years old, that means I have been preaching Father's Day's message many times. A few days before Christmas, that was last year, I asked my wife to bring me to Sir Charles Gardner Hospital because my heartbeat was very fast and my blood pressure was very high. And when I went there, they checked me and they said that you have a bleeding in the stomach. You are losing blood. So they admit me there for 2 nights. It's an experience to stay in a hospital, 4 beds in one room. You know, sharing with 4 persons in one room. And you know, the rooms are not very big. It was quite an experience for me because facing me on the left was an old man, partially blind. But he is a grumpy old man. He is making a lot of noise, you know, when the nurse doesn't treat him well, or, you know, every morning they have these people to come and take your blood, you know, and he will make a lot of noise and shout, "Are you thinking, you think it's not painful, is it?" And then on my right was another man, another old man, a big sinner. And if he's asleep, he's very quiet. When he's awake, it's the same old thing he said. "Help! Someone help me! Help! Someone help me!" He's like a broken recorder repeating, "Help! Someone help me!" Next to me was another one. But this one was as quiet as a lamb. You don't hear anything. There were two girls there, which was the daughter looking after this person. Very quiet. And Pastor Kara came and visited me. And I told Pastor Kara, "You know, just outside my room, there's a lady there, and she never stopped talking. I mean, she talks so loud that I'm at the far end of the room. I can hear every conversation." So I look at Pastor Kara. I said, "Thank you for visiting me. But I think that lady there needs counseling." The thing that struck me when I was in that room sharing with 3 other persons, the thing that really struck me, and I would say it's a message and a reminder to myself, was this simple thought that hit my heart and my mind, was this question to myself. And the simple question was this: what kind of old man do you want to be? What kind of old man do you want to be? I'm talking to who? Not to just every father's that here. I'm talking to myself. What kind of old man do I want to be? When everything slim slower, your sleep becomes shorter. You take nap in between. And then when you hear running water, you feel the urge to go. It is a clear sign that I am getting what? Old. Getting old, going old, can be challenging and frightening. When you are in your 20s, in your 30s, in your 40s, you never thought of all these things. You think your life is incredible. Nothing can touch you. But you reach a certain age, you find that getting old can be quite frightening. In fact, the amount of money people spend to fight against aging is billions of dollar business for the fountains of youth. Let me tell you a story about a middle-aged man. He has a heart attack and his spirit leave his body. And while he was, you know, experiencing this near-death experience, he saw a bright light and a voice that said, "It is not your time yet. You still got 30 years more to live." Immediately, he goes back into his body and live again. He had a heart attack, and he was told that he got 30 more years to live. I mean, that's good news. So what does he do? What does he do? He decided there's a new reason to live. So he had a major makeover. Yeah? He make sure his face is lifted up, his tummy goes in, his hair no more gray, he get it colored, you know, he wants to look much younger, and he managed to look 15 years younger. And he was so happy with what he has achieved. That's what people do when they are aging. They want to look young, and they are willing to spend the money, and then they look at themselves in the mirror. Wow, a new person. While he was crossing the road, a car hit him. And this time he died. Again, his spirit left his body and he see the bright light. So when he saw the bright light, he said, "What happened? I thought you said I got 30 more years." The voice replied, "I'm sorry, I did not recognize you." I'm telling you, if aging was like wine, it would be great. The older you get, the more valuable you are. But hopefully, your children feel the same way. But unfortunately, sad to say, there is no place for an old man. They retrench you, they retire you, they replace you because you reach your use by date. And you are not just an old man, you are an old, outdated model. I'm telling you, tonight, I'm going to the airport, I'm going to Singapore for a week. I sat on the computer and tried to get my ticket from SIA. I'm telling you, I spent 1 hour, I cannot get it. Then I try to, you know, you need to get a special entry permit to Singapore. I try in the internet. And I'm going to go to Johor for 2 nights. I try. And I sat there and spent hours on the computer trying to get connected and get it done. Number one, I tell myself, if I can't do it, I wonder those older people, how are they ever going to travel? There's really, in the world that we live, it seems that there is no place for an old man. Now, when you replace an old man, do not be happy because one day, your turn will come. Young people, you know, will be replaced one day. And that's why when you see an old man like me, or maybe older than me, driving a car, you have to be what? You have to be patient and very patient. Don't horn at them. Because that old man, one day, is going to be who? It's going to be you. The good thing is about growing old is this. I don't have to wake up early for work. I just have to wake up early for my doctor appointment. I don't have to rush with the traffic, but I rush with time because I feel and I move slower like a tortoise. The best thing about growing old in this country is that you get your senior card, your discount card. You get saving from your rates, your electricity, your license. Even you go movie, it's cheaper. And then you get free train ride, free bus ride. I'm not forgetting when you go to Mecca and order something, they give you a free coffee because you are old. You know why they do that? Because they know that your clock is ticking and they want you to enjoy the rest of your life. What kind of old man do I want to be? It's the question I ask myself. Well, let me tell you one thing. I do not want to be an old fool, a silly old fool. You hear people say that old fool, silly old fool, what happened to him? He started so well in life, but now he's just a silly old fool. What happened to him? Once he valued, he believed, he stood for and worked hard for something so dear to his heart. But now he throw everything away. He is just opposite to what he used to be. And people now try to avoid him. That's silly old fool. So, I do not want to be a silly old fool. How about you? The other thing is that I do not want to be a grumpy old man. A grumpy old man living with regrets, with unfulfilled dreams and unfulfilled life, thinking that the whole world is against me. I'm all alone. When you are old, the most important person is your family. It's your family around you. Don't be a lonely, grumpy old man. And if you want your family to be around you, fathers, you need to invest now on your children, on your family, in order for it to pay dividends tomorrow. Every now and then, when I talk too much, I sometimes try to make a point to my dear wife, the wife of my youth. We have been married for 43 years. I know her about 6 to 8 years before we were married, 50 over years. Every now and then when I try to make a point, she would turn around to me and say, I hope you don't become a grumpy old man or a cranky old man. One day I read a research that said that you only suffer from grumpy old man syndrome when you hit 70. Still got 3 more years to go. It's good to practice every now and then. But what does God say about an old man? What does God say about an old man? And surprisingly, in the Bible, God never called us an old man. Never. He called us old age. Old age. And when he talk about old age, he always talk about good old age. Like Abraham, Gideon, and David, they live in a good old age. In fact, God never called me an old man. He called me a man with gray hair. That means a sign of glory, wisdom, experience. And it must be respected by the younger generation. Say amen. So, where does this phrase old man comes from? The first time it was mentioned in the Bible, it was used by Jacob's children in Genesis chapter 43 and chapter 44. There they said, is your father well, the old man? We have a father, an old man. So it was the children that called the father an old man. But later on in the Bible, people like Isaac, Joshua, Zechariah, they say, I am an old man now. Other may call me an old man. I may call myself an old man. But in the Bible, in the New Testament, God has reserved and kept the word old man for the old nature. As far as God is concerned, no matter how old I am, I'm a new creation. I'm a new creation in Jesus Christ, changing from strength to strength, from glory to glory. Physically, I may not be as strong as I used to be. When I climb the ladder, my legs shake. I may not be as steady as I used to be. I may not be as fast as I used to be. But as far as God is concerned, I am not an old man. I'm a new man in Jesus Christ. And I know that even though you look at me outwardly, things are falling apart. You need a hip replacement, a knee replacement, a shoulder replacement, every replacement. This may be falling apart, but one thing I know, God is making new life. New life in me. Day by day, God is making new life. And His unfolding grace, His unfolding grace is revealed in me. That's the kind of old man I want to be. A man who knows the unforced rhythm of God's grace. So, what kind of old man do I want to be? Well, I don't want to be a foolish, silly old man. I don't want to be a grumpy, cranky old man. I don't want to start well and finish badly. What kind of old man do I want to be? I want to be an old man like David, a man after God's own heart. He started well, he finished strong, and he was called the sweet psalmist. In 2 Samuel 23, verse 1 to verse 7, he was called the sweet psalmist at his old age. The last words of David, these seven verses, is not the description of a dying old man, but a description of a man who has lived his life starting well and finishing strong, not by chance or by sheer luck. He did something about his life. Where you want to be can only happen if you do something about your life right now. And it is never too late to do something right now. Something positive, something right now. It's never too late. Never too late to change. So when you see David's life at the end, he described him as the sweet psalmist. And this is what I want to be, that when I reach the place of my life, I want to be a sweet old man. Life does have challenge. Life makes you a better person or a bitter person. How many realize that? Or it can make you a sweet person or a bitter person. And so I want to be like David, who chose my life, that God, no matter how I live, no matter what happens to me, I know that you are watching over me, you will protect me, you are for me. I know that if I put my trust in you, even there is injustice, there are wrong against me, I know that all things will work out together for good. I know that the end of the day, the final say is not what people say. The final say is what God say and what God do. And therefore, God, I don't have to get bitter. I don't have to get angry. I just learn to relax. To relax and trust God. That's how I want to be. A sweet old man. Now, if there is sweet psalmist, then there must be bitter psalmist, complaining psalmist, and grumpy psalmist. But David is called the sweet psalmist. He wrote 73 out of the 150 psalms. And this is psalm written by David. Even in time of joy, even in times of pain, even a time of disappointment, these are songs that he has written, and out of it always flow that trust in God. And he always ends up with a positive note. And that is, God, I will praise you. I will trust you. I will keep the right attitude. I will have a sweet spirit. That's so important. That is so important. I remember I was in a hospital a few years ago visiting a sister that was dying of cancer. And a lady came to me and said, "You are a pastor?" I said, "Yeah." "Hey, can you come and see this lady who is struggling to die?" So I went. I don't know how I went. You know, when people are bitter and they are angry, you see one sign of it is what? Is their hand crunched. It's a hand crunch, cannot let go. I don't know her, but she's dying. And she's not willing to die. Some people don't want to go. So I went to her ear, I said to her, look, there are people you need to forgive. There are people you need to let go. Don't hold. Let go. A few days later, she passed away. I hope she has let go. That's how life should be. I know life can be painful, can be disappointing, but let's be sweet about it. Amen? It's a choice that we make that I want to be sweet. So with David, you know, when he is up, he wrote and sang. When he is down, he wrote and sang. When nothing happened, he wrote and sang. When something happened, he wrote and sang. And he wrote and sang always a sweet song to the Lord. This is what he said. My heart overflow with a good thing. I address my son to a king. My tongue is like the pen of a really writer. That's what he is. He said, no matter what it is, how many of you do journal? Pastor Kara do, many people do. I hope that when you do journal, you always end up with a positive. In God, I trust. That I can trust God no matter what I'm going through. And so, you want to be the sweet old man? Here are four principles. Four principles that David has hold and hold very dearly. And I need to do it, not when I first know Jesus, even till today. Till I met Jesus one day. Principle number one, know yourself. Verse 1 says, these are the last words of David. The David, the son of Jesse, speaks. David, the man who was raised up so high. David, the man anointed by God of Jacob. David, the sweet psalmist. And this is what David said. The first thing you need to know is know yourself. That's an old wise saying. Say, know yourself, and to yourself be what? Be true. I'm sure you have seen people, and you say about people, can't they see? Are they so blind? Have you ever said about people that way before? But this is what it is. David say, you got to know yourself. When you know yourself, you know your limitation. You know your limitation. You know your strength. You know your weakness. And you know how fragile you are. David said one time, "Say, God, let me know myself. Let me number my days. Let me live my life knowing that what you have for me and how I can live for you." Know yourself. And David, look at himself and he said what? Well, firstly, I'm a shepherd boy. As a shepherd boy, no one sees me. My father don't see me. My brother don't care about me. I'm the only one in the field looking after the sheep. Nobody wants to do. Have you ever felt that way before? Forgotten? Neglected? You know? And David said that this is what I am. But now that if I see myself, if I see myself not in my own mirror, not in the mirror of others, but if I see myself in the mirror of God, in the mirror of God, I am wonderfully made. I am beautifully made. In the mirror of God, He has a purpose for my life. In the mirror of God, His plan for me is good. So he said, I look through God's mirror. Yes, I have limitations as a shepherd for. But here is how I see myself in God. And when he described himself in God, he saw things in a different light. He said, I'm a man raised on high by God. God is the one that raised me up. God is the one that gave me favor. God is the one that has designed me for greatness. God is the one that made me a king. And God is the one who made me sit higher than my neighbor. I want you to know when you look at yourself, everything that is in your hand is because God has given you. It is the power of God that is upon you. It is not your own doing, because what you have today can be lost tomorrow, can be lost the next minute. It is God. So David said, look, I'm a shepherd boy. There is nobody, but God raised me on high. The second thing he said is that God have anointed me. Yes, I may be weak and fragile. I may not be strong, but God has anointed me to kill the giant Goliath. God has anointed me to do great things for me. God has anointed me to be a mighty warrior. God has anointed me to be the great king of Israel. So David looked at himself and said, it's not because of myself, but it's because of God who has made me. And it's important, if you want to have a sweet spirit, is that God makes you. Anything happens to you, do not happen by chance. Even not so good things may happen to you. That is part and parcel of life. How many of you realize by now that life is unfair? There is unfairness. But let me encourage you, learn to trust God. Trust God and see His grace, His redemption at work. So you say, firstly, I need to know myself. The second principle he said, I need to know God's promise. From verse 2 to verse 4, the Spirit of the Lord speaks to me. His words are upon my tongue. The God of Israel spoke. The God of Israel said to me, the one who rules righteously, who rules in the fear of God, is like the light of morning at sunrise, like a morning without cloud, like the gleaming of the sun on the new grass after rain. So what happened? Here God gave David a prophetic insight of the coming king, the King Jesus that will rule in righteousness. He is like the lighting of the morning when the sun arises. And this is God's promise to David. Things may not be fair, but my promise to you that I am righteous. God is righteous and He will see you through. This same promise is given to us. We have King Jesus living in our heart, and we look forward for the coming of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And this is the hope of every Christian. Know God's promise. This morning, fathers, God's promise is yes and yes. Amen. God's promise gives you a purpose to live, strength to face tough time. Fathers, God's promise is a hope for deliverance in time of injustice. We are not a people without promise. We are a people with great promises from God who has died on the cross, and every promise has come to us with yes and yes. And in His time, He will fulfill His promises. And we know one thing, we can hold on to God's promises for ourselves, for our children, for our marriage, for our household, because we know that God has the final say and God will see me through, and the end result is not what I want, it's what God wants for me. And therefore, whatever happened, I can be sweet and trust in the unfailing help of God. How many realize that you are not God? Thank God you are not God. Because if you are, those people who don't like you, those people who did wrong to you, long time will be zapped. How many realize that? I have asked God one time, God, why? Why don't you like that? You are not like me, right, wrong? You're all better than me. You know what the Lord speak to me? The same rule you want me to apply to them, I will apply the same rule to you. Is that frightening? The third principle is know God's covenant. verse 5. Is not my family, is it not my family God has chosen? Yet he has made an everlasting covenant with me. His agreement is arranged and guaranteed in every details. Arranged, guaranteed, every detail, every dot, every comma. He will ensure my safety and success. No. God's covenant. God is covenanter. He's the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He is personal and generational. God's covenant is one of grace and never of work. David realized his household may not follow God all the time. Yet God will keep his covenant with him. And yet God will fulfill what he promised him, because God is a covenant-keeping God. This is what verse 5 in other translation. God, you will constantly look after my safety and my success. Lord, my safety, my success is in your hand. You are covenanter, and I know that you will keep what you say. Years later, when King David's son, Solomon, encountered the covenant-keeping God, he fell on his knee and he declared, there is no God like our God. Amen. There is no one like our God. We need to realize that. Folks, there are so many voices out there that said Jesus is not the only way. But I'm telling you, he's the only way, the only truth, and the only life. We need to hold this. There is no God like our God. In him is grace. In him is life. And if we cannot hold on to this truth that there is no God like our God, let me tell you, when things do not get well, your eyes will be looking around. Is there any other solution? No God is like our God. So David said, God, I know you are covenanter. I know that you will keep your covenant. And every fathers, I want you to know that God will keep his covenant to you. But you need to stay in the covenant. You need to hold on to the covenant. Stay on to the covenant. And even if your children rebel, your children walk away, you need to stand in the gap of the covenant. Because in you staying on the gap, God will hear your prayer. And in his time, he will fulfill his covenant to you and to your family. Grace is a generational church. We thank God for that. And I only pray today, I see some fathers here. When I first knew you, you were just a kid, and now you are a father. The next pastor that is going to take my place, one day he's going to see your children as fathers. That is God's covenant. That is God's covenant. That God is covenanter. And we need to realize that, God, how can I be sweet, old man? Yes, God, it's not working for myself. It's not working for my family. It's not working with my children. I cannot understand why they are like that. You know, sometimes we cannot understand why children born from the same family, they are two different people, three different people. How many of you realize that? Come to the real world. That's what it is. But one thing I know, they may be different, but God is the same. Say amen. God is the same. His promise is the same. His covenant is the same. So I can trust God. I can trust God that he who is covenanter will keep his covenant. And so, I don't want to get angry. I don't want to be an unhappy old man. I want to be a sweet old man. Because I'm telling you, it's your sweetness that is going to attract your children. How many realize that? Your sweetness. If you are an angry old man, they run away from you. They may not even send you the present. Because they don't know your address. The last principle, which is very important to keep sweet, and this is a principle that is lost in our world today, is called know the consequences of the rebellious. The consequences of the godless, that's in our translation. But the godless are like thorns to be thrown away, for they tear the hand that touched them. One might use iron tool to chop them down. They will be totally consumed by fire. David knew the consequences of the rebellious. He knew because he has a chance to look at King Saul. King Saul was a rebellious king. He looked at the life of King Saul. He looked at the consequences of King Saul. And he realized that there are consequences in life. This is not what is happening in our world today. They don't think that there are consequences. I can do whatever I want. Some other people will pay the price. Silly. The consequences is always paid by you, but some other people suffer because of your consequences. So David recognized the consequences of the ungodly, and therefore he saw the first-hand account of King Saul's life, and he said, I will not want to be a Saul. We meet rebellious people in school, in the workplace, in home. David has suffered much with such people. Sometime, maybe you are like David who asked why. Have you ever asked God why? Put up your hand, you are honest. Come on. If you are honest, put up your hand. So only you and me, Pastor. We all suffer under unreasonable people. People who take advantage of. People who are unjust. We all suffer with such people. And I think David also asked why. And I also have asked why. And David say, God, why these people seem to get away with it? In fact, I look at them, they are blessed. What's wrong with you, God? Then one day, in Psalm 73, when he went to the presence of God, God showed him their ends. That these people who are living in that kind of life, thinks everything is sweet, everything is good, everything is okay, but according to Psalm 73, they are actually walking on the slippery slope. And then when they slip, they are going to go down the slope and down the peak. It's a challenge to us. Know the consequences. Therefore, always do what is right. Every father that is here, do what is right. Because God will honor you. The last words of David are a challenge and encouragement to all of us. Live your life knowing yourself. Live your life knowing God's promise. Live your life knowing God's covenant. Live your life knowing the consequences of the godless, the rebellious, the disobey. Because I want to live my life sweet. Yes. I have disappointment, there is injustice, there is unfairness, there is distress. I can take a number and go and see Pastor Kara. Or I just trust God in His promise that God will work out all things for good to those who love Him. And a call according to the purpose. I rather trust God. So, to every father here, I pray it's not too late to allow this guiding principle to guide your life and have a sweet spirit at your old age. Be the sweet old man. I told you that the one next to me is so sweet that the two daughters in the 50s, they're looking after him. And he is so contented, silent as a lamb. He's not dead, still alive. Happy. And I see over the side, grumpy, making so much noise. Then the other side, the person who is senile, I look at both of them and I ask myself, I said, this is the Father's Day message I will preach. What kind of old man do I want to be? So you know what I did during that 2 days there? I was the bell boy. Because they cannot ring the bell for nurse. Every time they call for nurse, I ring for them. Come on, let's pray. Let me ask every father to come out. We have a present for you. Every father, will you come out? You know, there was one time when I preached on Father's Day, one or two occasions that I have to powder my hair to look old. Now I don't have to powder my hair. Natural oldness. Natural. Every father that is here, you play a very important part in the home. I pray that you become an example at home, that your children will aspire to follow you, that you are able to say to them, be like me as I am like Christ. What kind of old man would you want to be, Robin? Hoping is already older than me. Niam, what kind of old man do you want to be? It's a good question that we have to ask ourselves. Oh, Joshua, what kind of old man do you want to be? Not grumpy. The church is as old as Joshua. And it's not going to happen